Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we're bringing a positive influence into your life and into this world. Hi, my name is Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on hope. And for today, that's a great subject to talk about. We have a lot of things going on in this world, the coronavirus, or some people call it the COVID-19. We need hope, especially for today and for the coming weeks and months and maybe for the rest of our lives. So let's just jump in with hope and what hope can do for your life and where you're at today. Like I said, today's world is pretty much in an uproar and we need hope. So what is the biblical meaning of hope? Well, hope is commonly used to mean a wish, and strength is the strength of a person's desire. But in Bible hope, it's the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. In Psalm 119:114, it says, "Your word is a source of hope." Billy Graham once said, "The greatest need in our world today is the need for hope. We thrive on hope, rejoice in hope, we witness in hope, knowing that experience works hope. Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord, his God," out of Psalm 146:5. There is hope for the future. It is centered in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the grave and is alive now. I have staked all that I am or ever hope to be on him. And here's some other quotes by Billy Graham on hope. "Earth's troubles fade in the light of heaven's hope." "Perhaps the greatest psychological, spiritual, and medical need that all people have is the need for hope. My hope does not rest in the affairs of this world. It rests in Christ, who is coming again. Christ wants to give you hope for the future. He wants you to learn what it means to walk with him every day. When you come to Christ, God gives you eternal life, which begins right now as you open your heart to him." I saw these words written on a sign in a local church. It said, "Hope is real." I thought about it, and needless to say, I agreed with the statement. But as I thought about the simple little phrase, I realized for many people, hope is not real. I believe that is one of the most important gifts we can give to another person, is the gift of hope. You see, someone who is hopeless and alone usually cannot help themselves out of their situations. They have great sense of loss or helplessness. We must come alongside and bring the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he has to offer. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it in more abundantly," in John 10:10. So one definition of hope is to look forward to with confidence or expectation. We must bring the word of God with all its hope to someone who does not know it's real. When we bring hope, we bring life. It is life-changing to finally believe again. It is more than just asking God for something we so badly need. We must expect our miracle. Somewhere in the midst of asking, believing, and expecting God to answer, we will find what we are looking for. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living," out of Psalms 27:13. I have felt for a long time that the biggest problem we have in this world today is there are so many people who have lost hope, especially today. There seems to be many hurts, problems, sicknesses, troubles, financial woes, family problems, world issues, political concerns. It seems the world has no hope. Apart from God, it can be an awful, hopeless place. But with God's help, we can make it. I want you to know that whatever situation you find yourself in at this moment, there is hope. You may not be able to see or feel the hope, but it is there for you. How do we find the hope? There's only one place where we can be found, and that is in Jesus Christ. I did a word search in the Bible for the word hope and found many wonderful passages. They were mostly in Psalms and Proverbs, of course. David found himself in situations many times and had to remind himself that hope is real. It comes from God. Here are a few of David's prayers to God. Psalm 39:7, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Psalms 42:11, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Psalm 25, 3. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. And Psalm 119, 49. Remember your promise to me, for it is my only hope. Trust God. He wants you to trust Him. You need to agree with God about your situation. What does God say about who you are and what His will is for your life? Don't go by your feelings. Instead, we should remind ourselves that God only has plans for us that are good. Jeremiah helps us remember what God has to say about us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And it's out of Jeremiah 29:11. We do not need to be disappointed and feel alone. We can have hope. God loves in our hearts will ignite the flames of hope we have buried deep inside our hearts. God's word can encourage us as we read it with great anticipation and faith. Paul writes in Romans these words of encouragement in Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Here's a good story on hope and commitment. This is a true story and is from a sermon delivered in December of 1912 by Russell H. Conwell, pastor of the Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia. He tells the story of his former church home and his encounter there with a little girl named Hattie Mae Wyatt. Hattie Mae Wyatt lived near a church where the Sunday school was so very crowded. As the head of the church, Reverend Conwell told her that one day they would have a building big enough to accommodate anyone and everyone who wanted to attend Sunday school at the church. A short time later, Hattie Mae became sick, so sick that she died as a child. Reverend Conwell was asked to officiate the funeral and also was told by the child's mother that Hattie Mae had been saving her money to help build a bigger church to house the people interested in Sunday school. The mother gave the minister Hattie Mae's little purse, in which he found 57 cents that the young girl had put away. Hattie Mae died in 1886 when 57 cents was no small amount. For a little girl from a poor family, Reverend Conwell converted the 57 cents into 57 pennies, then told his congregation the story of little Hattie Mae saved gift. Like a seasoned fundraiser and with lots of hope, he was able to sell the pennies to those in attendance for a return of approximately $250. Additionally, 54 of the original 57 pennies were returned to Reverend Conwell, and he put them on display. Some of the members of the church formed what they called the Wyatt Mite Society, dedicated to making Hattie Mae's 57 cents grow as much as possible, and to purchase property for the Sunday school operations. A nearby house was purchased with $250 that Hattie Mae's 57 cents had produced, and the rest is history. The first class of Temple College, later named Temple University, were held in that house. It later was sold to allow Temple College to move and grow. This, along with the Society's founding of Good Samaritan Hospital, now called the Temple University Hospital, are significant testimonies of the power of a very small amount of money with a very large share of commitment and hope. So next, I'd like to play you a song. It's by Aaron Schust. It's called My Hope Is In You. It comes from Psalm 62:5, where it says, Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from you. And here's the song.
You in my soul. my song and I sing. My hope is in you alone. I wait for you and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness you show me grace. I worship you and my heart cries glory.
Wow, but a beautiful song on hope. Part of the song that I liked says, "My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here." So how can we have hope when everything looks hopeless? Well, in Romans 5:3-5, Paul says that we can rejoice in our sufferings because we are people of hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. I know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. So how can we have hope when everything looks hopeless? In the midst of suffering, we can rejoice because these challenges cause us to. Number one, rely on God's presence. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean celebrating when bad news comes, but it does mean that we can believe that God is doing a redemptive work. The word redemptive means that God does not waste a hurt or disappointment. He is using them to shape and build us into the image of Jesus, which is His highest passion. When we go through suffering, we often pray and seek God more intensely than at other times. My greatest times of growth have been when I've reached the end of my resources and all I have left is Jesus. God uses suffering to make us rely on His presence. In Psalm 23:4, David writes that he does not fear because God is with him. He relies on God's presence, and it brings him strength and comfort. Remember that for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. I don't know what your valley of the shadow of death is, but I do know whose delight is walking with you in that valley. In another psalm, David reveals that one of the reasons for his joy is that he is forgiven. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, out of Psalm 31:1. We can't determine God's love for us based on good or bad circumstances. We determine his love based on the cross and what he did for us on it. And number two, rely on God's provision. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul reveals that he has suffered from the thorn in the flesh. God was so concerned about Paul not becoming proud, he allowed this to happen to him to prevent him from becoming conceited. In our current situation, God is saying to us that his grace is sufficient, and even when we feel weak, he is making us stronger than we have ever been. His grace is not an abstract idea. It is the person of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. The hell you are going through may be very circumstance God uses to take you to a whole new level. And number three, rely on God's power. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me, in 2 Corinthians 12:9. What is your weakness? Maybe it is a son or daughter that hasn't quite turned out the way you thought he or she would, a job situation that has gone awry, a medical diagnosis that has scared you. Maybe, like Paul, it is also insults, hardships, and persecutions. Whatever it is, Paul says he will boast in those things because when we are weak, the power of Christ rests on us. The greater the enemy comes at you, the greater Jesus is in you. Maybe you hear voices telling you to quit, give up, and let go. Don't stop. When you are weak, then he is strong. Remember, the greater the attack against you, the greater Christ is in you. But you have to rely on his presence, his provision, and his power. This week, take a moment to write down what you are suffering from or struggling with and place it in an envelope. On the outside, write, God's got this, and he is transforming me. Now, when that challenge comes to mind, remember to rely on him. So next, I want you to read this story, and it's called Charlie Brown and His Football, A Story of Christian Hope. She did it for the first time on November 16, 1952. Charlie Brown explains to Lucy, "All you have to do is hold the ball. Then I come running and kick it." She's not sure. "I don't know if this is such a good idea." Charlie Brown comes running, but at the last moment, Lucy pulls back the football, explaining to the prostrate kicker, "I was afraid your shoes might be dirty, Charlie Brown. I don't want anyone with dirty shoes kicking my new football." He tells her, "Don't you ever do that again. Do you want to kill me? This time, hold it tight." She does. So tightly, he kicks a ball, which doesn't move, and tumbles onto his back. "I held it real tight, Charlie Brown," he laments. "I'm not going to get up. I'm going to lie here for the rest of the day." Lucy would continue some variant of the football snatch in almost every subsequent year of the strip, all the way to 1999. The same would happen 9 times in animation. Drawing the strip for the last time, Charles Schulz said that he realized, sadly, that Charlie Brown would never kick that football. But he also thought having him succeed would have been a disservice to his character. So why is that? Perhaps because Charlie Brown is something of an everyman, and trying to kick that football reveals who he is. Depending on your perspective, either he will not learn from the past, or he refuses to give up on the future. You know, for the Christian, it's the latter, which is what makes Charlie Brown something of a Christ figure. He doesn't close in upon himself. He doesn't give up on others. He lives in hope. Consider the commandment God gives through Moses. "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," Leviticus 19:2. And then, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," out of Leviticus 19:18. We are told to be like God, which is to love like God. Humans become most truly themselves, most truly human, when we strive to imitate God. when we love and give, when we love to give, when we give love. Jesus rejects all the petty reasonings that would make us comfortable closing in upon ourselves. Love and goodness are always diffusive. They don't draw back. This is the mark of their divine origin. It is the vision of what it means to be human, revealed in Christ. So be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect, out of Matthew 5:48. One could put all of this into another key. As God is the deepest reality there is, we humans have only one choice. We either choose to be like God, or we choose to be not at all. We call the confirmation of the first choice heaven. The second choice leads to nothingness that we name hell. The final football gag appeared in the strip on October 24, 1999. At the last moment, Lucy is called away, but she asks her brother Rerun to play the trick on Charlie Brown for her. Back in the house, she asks him, "What happened? Did he pull the ball away? Did he kick it? What happened?" He replies, "You'll never know." It is, after all, the great question that life poses. Am I a Charlie Brown or a Lucy? Do I love and give as God does, as Christ did, or do I, at the last moment, pull back into myself? Here are some quotes that I like. It says, "Dear God, I try my best, but if today I lose my hope, please tell me that your plans are better than my dreams." When the world says give up, God whispers hope to try it one more time. Hope is seeing the light in spite of being surrounded by darkness. God never said the journey would be easy, but he did say the arrival would be worthwhile. Have hope. And hope, H-O-P-E, hold on, pain ends. So in my prayers with God, I ask God, "What's your definition of hope? What do you say about this?" And here's what he stated to me. He said, "Hope is life. Can you imagine having a life without any hope? It's a life that is devastating to that person who doesn't have hope. Hopefully, Bobby, you're catching on to my commandment to you. Take what you and I have. Take what you have learned from me. Be the example and also share with people who desperately need it. Introduce them to me, and I will love them and I will give them hope." So here's my challenge for you today, guys. These few key scriptures will help you understand what we need to do. Words like be strong, take courage, wait patiently for it, and be joyful in hope. They are all action words we need to work on. Read these scriptures out loud during your devotion times. Watch how hope will come alive in your heart as you speak the word of God over yourself and your situation. Psalm 31:24, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for and hope for and expect the Lord." Psalm 119:74, "May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word." Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on the wings of like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." I want this to bring life to you. Pray out loud the words of hope into your life and your situations. "I have hope. My hope is in the Lord. I will be strong and wait on the Lord. I trust God with my life and the life of my family." You need to speak these words every day. Hope is real. It comes from God. He has placed it in your heart. Speak it out and watch what God will do for you. Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So what is your need today? Is it for financial blessing, healing in your body, a new job, a house, a car? Whatever it is, take it to Jesus today. Is there someone in your life today that needs encouraging? Speak the words of hope that bring life. Hope is real, and we just need to try it. So I really feel led to read you Psalm 91, especially during these times that we're in. And I believe Psalm 91, if we just put that on our hearts and we do the things that I've talked about already, that we will get through this with a lot of hope. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that, my friends, 14 through 16, is my favorite scripture. And I'm going to read it again. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. I will, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So we get ourselves into trouble, or we get into trouble, and he saves us. We need to rely on that hope from God. So friends, my prayer is always, is going to be that God blesses you on the journey that you're on with him, and that you embrace the path that he has you on. And I also pray for our world today. We're under some extreme circumstances. I know for my life, I have never seen what's going on today ever. So we definitely need to have hope in Jesus Christ. And we also definitely need to share that with other people that don't have the hope that we have. Hey guys, you can always get me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. Again, I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Positive Light. Check out the Medical Stuff podcast by Chris and Mark. They're PG rated, but please check them out. They've been a great influence and help with me. Next week's episode, I think it's appropriate after today's hope, is going to be on joy. Hey, thank you everybody for downloading today and listening in. We'll catch you next week. And remember, this week, think about hope and what it can do for your life.